As we leave 2022 and enter 2023, we carry over some of 2022 into 2023, don't we? We may carry over health problems that we encountered in 2022, and we still have them going into 2023. We may have incurred debts in 2022 that we carry over into 2023. We may have encountered problems. Great challenges may have arisen in our families or our workplaces in 2022, and they're not resolved as we go into 2023. There are many things that arise in one year that we wish could be tied up with a bow at the end of a year, but we have to carry them into another year. But there's one thing that you do not need to carry into 2023. There's one thing that you can leave behind right now this evening, and it's guilt. Guilt over sin. As you look back, as I look back on 2022, I'm sure we look back on a sin-stained path, maybe habits that we wish we could have broken, and we feel so guilty that they're still with us. Or maybe there was one incident, one temptation that just overwhelmed you, and you can't forget that moment. And it screams condemnation at you. And you're going into 2023 with this burden, this pain of heart, this sense of being under the condemnation of God. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the authority of God, you can leave all of that behind in 2022. You can tie it up with a gospel bow, and it's done. As we're told here in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great promise to enter into a new year with. What a great promise to look back on a past year with. I remember, I think it was the year 2000, the turn of the millennium. In the UK, there was a big publicity campaign. It was called the Clean Slate Campaign. Lots of celebrities, superstars got involved in it, politicians. And the idea was that going into a new millennium would be a great opportunity to do some forgiving or receive some forgiving. To take somebody that you had wronged and go to them and seek their forgiveness, or that you would go and offer forgiveness to someone who had wronged you. And the whole idea was, let's just wipe the slate clean. Let's just wipe all away all the agonies and pains of all our falls and failures in the past year, even millennia. And I think we can identify with that, can't we? It's a sentiment, a sense deep in the human heart that we want the slate wiped clean, and the turn of a year is a marker for seeking that. And that is really what the Bible is all about. It's not once a year. It's every day of every year we can have a clean slate. Now, maybe there's some younger children here and you're wondering, what on earth is a clean slate? Well, that thing up there is a slate. It's a blackboard. This is what I was raised with. We never knew anything about whiteboards, digital whiteboards, which is probably in your schools. But believe it or not, this was what we used to get taught with. And on this piece of slate, this blackboard, teachers would write with white chalk. And at the end of every day, one of the students would be picked to go and wipe off all the chalk, all the writing. And usually it was on a roller, so that there were maybe three or four panels. So you had to wipe one panel, pull it down, wipe another panel, pull it down. By the end of it, you were covered in white dust. It really just, the board was clean, but you were filthy. But I want to use that as an illustration tonight, because that's really what God is offering us in the gospel. He's offering us a clean slate. He's offering us that he will scrub clean our record of sin. As he says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is how God does this. But I want to just take these minutes together to just walk around in this subject of forgiveness and what it means and how we can embrace it, how we can have our slate wiped clean going into the new year. Is that not something that's desirable? Is that not something that would change the way you live in the new year? To know that the past is truly in the past. Well, what can we say about this forgiveness? We can say, first of all, it's needed. It's necessary. There's a lot of forgiveness that is not really needed. We can survive without it. We might have sinned against somebody. We might have offended them, hurt them. But we can live without them forgiving us. We can forget about them. We can put them out of our minds. We can try and avoid them. And in that sense, it's not an absolute necessity that we get their forgiveness. But here we're talking about God. And we can't avoid him. We can't run away from him. This is a vital, a necessary forgiveness. It's a great need that you and I and every person has to one degree or another. And one of the reasons we need it is because guilt is such a destructive power in our lives. It's the source of many other physical problems as well as spiritual, mental problems, emotional disorders. John Calvin said that if we do not confess our sins, we carry about hell within our hearts. That's a strong statement, isn't it? No confession, no forgiveness. We carry hell around in our hearts. That level of pain, of challenge. So we need this. This is necessary as we go into a new year. But secondly, it's surprising. Because of who it is that forgives us. Maybe people think to get human forgiveness, well, that's appropriate because they're not perfect and I'm not perfect. Therefore, you know, we can forgive one another. But here we're talking about we're the only imperfect ones here and we've got a perfect and a holy God. And yet he is the one who is offering this forgiveness, this blotting out, this wiping of the slate clean here in this verse. It's surprising who is offering it. It's surprising when he offers it. He offers this forgiveness not in a sort of annual sale or on special occasions like Christmas and Easter, but every minute of every day he is ready and willing to forgive. And it's surprising in how speedy it can be. It's not something that we have to wait for. Because here it says, if we confess, he will forgive. It's as close, it's as speedy as we can speak. I'm sorry. Forgive me. It's surprising. It's also the ultimate forgiveness. Because again, you know, we can get forgiven by our children, maybe by our spouse, maybe by our parents, maybe by friends, family, employers. But to be forgiven by God, that's the ultimate forgiveness, isn't it? There's none higher. There's none greater. We can go through all of life and get all the forgiveness in the world from other people and give all the forgiveness in the world to other people. But if we don't have forgiveness from God, we've missed the big one. So this is the ultimate. This is the greatest. This is the supreme forgiveness. It's also just. Notice what John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's not a forgiveness that ignores the law. It's not a forgiveness that just turns a blind eye to wrongdoing. No, it's a forgiveness that also satisfies justice. We would be mortally offended if a judge sat in his court one day and just said to all the criminals, I forgive you, without them paying any penalty. Our sense of justice would rise up against that in fury. That's wrong. That's not fair. And in this gospel forgiveness, we cannot simply expect God to say, well, don't worry, I'll forgive, or I'll forget, or I'll turn a blind eye. No, he's got to deal with the sin. The penalty has to be paid. And it has been in Jesus. He took the penalty. He took the punishment. That's why he says here, he is just to forgive us our sins. In fact, he would be unjust not to forgive our sins if we confess them. Because he's promised, you confess, you get all of Christ's work applied to you. So he's just. This is a just forgiveness. It's also an expensive one, as we've said. This was at the cost of God's own Son, his only beloved Son. This wasn't just, okay, well, I'll take a few days in jail for you, or I'll pay, a few hundred dollars for you. No, he gave his life, his whole life, not just the end of it, his whole life, his invaluable life, his spotless life. He gave it to death, even the death of the cross. He paid it all. It was expensive. It was costly. And yet, it's free. It's free. It's expensive to God, but it's free to us. God pays the cost, all of it, in his Son, so that we can get a free forgiveness. We bring nothing in our hands. We have zero contribution to this forgiveness. It's entirely and completely free. The price tag has gone. It's zero. It's a free forgiveness to you and me. But it's also a full forgiveness. It's full. It's not just covering some parts of our lives. It's not just covering the small sins of our lives. It's not just even covering the sins we do confess, but even the sins we don't confess. Because if we had to make sure that we confessed every single sin before we got forgiveness, we would do nothing else in this world. And who could go to the judgment with any sense of confidence? I mean, how can I be sure I've covered every sin with my confession? So when it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them, he's not saying you have to confess every single one that you've ever committed. No, it's speaking of a general spirit of humble repentance, of contrition over not just our sins, but over our sinfulness, and casting ourselves upon God for his mercy. And so, you might say, for a limited confession, that is a full forgiveness. Limited, not in the sense of we're holding back, but limited in the sense that none of us have any idea how much and how many we have sinned. And so when we go to the Lord, we say, just forgive me my sins, general, all of them. Don't miss one of them. What happens if God misses one of our sins, we're done. But he won't. He wipes the whole slate clean, fully. Always remember sometimes rubbing out the chalk from the board. Sometimes the teacher must have been very angry when she or he wrote on the board, because it was really hard to get the chalk off. And sometimes we would go and get some paper towels to try and get rid of all the residue of the chalk. And you would rub away at it. You'd be late leaving class, and you'd finally get it. And then you would step back and you'd see the chalk drying. You'd see the board drying. And to your horror, there were big white marks all over the board as the water evaporated. And you'd go again at it. And you'd come in the next day and you'd still see it. So you couldn't fully rub the board clean. There was always some memory. Some faded memory, but there was always there. No chalkboard would ever be as it was the first day it was brought into a classroom. I always remember when new boards came in, the teachers and the students would be super careful, like to really clean them well. But within a week, they were just like the others. They looked as old as the others. But God can wipe it clean, fully, so that there's no memory, there's no residue, there's nothing left. No matter how much you examine the board, how much you examine your record, zilch, zero, not a dust particle of sin remains. It's blank. It's a full forgiveness. It's also a unique forgiveness. It's unique in that it is deep. It's unique in that it actually changes us. It's interesting here in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's a cleansing word there as well. And in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is the amazing thing about this forgiveness. It doesn't just wipe the board clean. It doesn't just give us a blank slate. It doesn't just erase everything. It actually changes us. It actually cleanses us so that our lives are actually different going forward. So that even though we've been forgiven all that sin, and this particular sin maybe, that might for some people make them think, oh well, I'll just go and get more forgiveness the next time. No. The reaction of the Christian to forgiveness is, man, I've been forgiven for that sin. Well, by God's grace, I'm doubling my effort against it because I've been forgiven. It's unique. And it's inclusive. And by that I mean it's for everyone who wants it. Everyone who wants it. This is the most inclusive force in the world. We hear a lot today about inclusion. But nothing is as inclusive as the gospel, because it goes out to every age, every class, every culture, every kind of religious person, and every kind of sinful person. There's no one excluded. Notice it says here, if we confess our sins. It's not if a certain group, it's not everyone but them. No, it's if we, if anyone, confess their sins. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sin for, how deep you've been in sin for, how many you've committed. He can wipe it clean. It's so inclusive. Don't exclude yourself, because God certainly doesn't exclude you from this gracious offer. It's near. It's very close. You don't need to go on a pilgrimage. You don't need to go and do great deeds. You don't need a record of of living well for a time. No. It's as close as here. If we confess, he forgives. That's how near salvation is to you. It's right there. Literally on the tip of your tongue. Let that tongue loose in confession. And God lets loose his forgiveness. If we confess, he forgives. And it's guaranteed. You know, you can go and confess to somebody, we fell out, I was wrong, I did this, I shouldn't have done it. There's no guarantee that that person will extend a hand of forgiveness, is there? I'm sure we've all tried it in the past, and we've failed. But here we are guaranteed that when we go, God's hands are already extended to us in forgiveness. It's guaranteed. It's cast iron. You can take it to the bank. But it's also expiring. It's the offer will expire. When we die, that's the expiry date. We can't wait until we're like 1 second over the threshold of death and say, oops, can I just go back and fix that? Once you cross that border between life and death, the offer is gone. You can look for all eternity. You'll never find it again. You won't find it in hell. You won't find it however long you look for it. The guilt will only be multiplied instead. So it's expiring. Don't delay. Don't wait. Take up the offer. And if you do, it's permanent. It's forever. The offer is expiring. The forgiveness is forever. You know, sometimes I remember a time when I asked somebody for forgiveness and they gave me it. Speedily. But then we had another clash some years down the line, and that person brought up what I had said some years before, wrongly, sinfully. And it was clear that he had, you know, as it were, kept this up his sleeve the whole time, ready to pull out. Although he'd spoken words of forgiveness, it was not permanent. It only lasted until the next clash between us. But God's forgiveness is permanent. Once he's forgiven, it's forever. When you go from 2022 into 2023 in a spirit of confession, all of 2022 sins are permanently blotted out. And 2021, and 2020, and as long all the way back to your first moments. Try and keep this image in your mind as you go into 2023. I've confessed and he has forgiven. The slate is clean. It's blotted out. It's wiped. It's gone. Is that not a motivating, inspiring, encouraging, comforting, energizing way to leave this year and enter the next? To go into it with this image in front of us. The clean slate. I've confessed and he has forgiven. I'm not going to go back to it. Every time the devil brings it to my memory, I say, no, it's gone. It's wiped out. Maybe in your board, the devil, but it's not in God's. He's promised, your sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. That's a clean slate campaign that's worth getting behind. And worth telling others about too, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that there is forgiveness with you. Where would we be without it? We pray that each of us here tonight would embrace this, receive this, believe this, act upon this, enjoy this, delight in this. That we would go into 2023 forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.